On this episode of Still Loading...
I've been working on a new robot that may be able to help you. I call him Garbage Man.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this new episode of the Still Loading Podcast. I am your host, Josh Koval, and today is episode 5 of Captain N, the Game Master. And with me, as always, for all these gloriously amazing Captain N episodes is my buddy, Dexter. Dexter, how are you doing today?
I am doing awesome. We're watching Captain N. It's always a good day.
It's always a good... Captain N recording day is honestly like... one of my favorite days that we do. Like, I know it doesn't happen often because we record in batches, so it takes a there's like a month or two gap in between our recording sessions, but I always look forward to it. And it's always fun because like the week of is just me watching and rewatching Captain N episodes over and over and over again to ingrain them into my brain for these episodes so we can talk about them. So when we last left our heroes in the end of episode 4, they had just been warped into the warp zone of Oblivion by Mother Brain, who she had gathered these three powerful relics from Mount Icarus, which takes place in Kid Icarus's world, land, whatever it is. And after she obtains them, she zaps them into the warp zone of Oblivion. And the last episode was called Video Olympics, where she challenged the N team, the N crew, to Olympic style games called Video Olympics. And it was just a distraction. It was a guise. It was a facade for her to send her minions to collect these three sacred treasures and then turn it into, get ultimate power and zap them. So we begin this episode with all of our heroes, Kevin, got that one out of the way early this episode, with Kevin and Lana and Mega Man and Simon and Kid Icarus, all in the warp zone of warp zones, the world in between the warp zones, like the thing that connects all the warp zones together, that's not its own world but kind of its own space in space and time continuum, and I don't know what else. And that's where we begin. So first thing I want to say is I don't really like the design of this area that much. It's a little visually boring with just random pipes everywhere. And it's a lot of brown.
Well, it's all like, it was super like, I guess that was, we were about to get into that phase with the 90s, but it had that very like bio grossness, I guess, kind of like, it was like the Saturday morning equivalent of H.R. Giger's artwork. If people are familiar with like the Alien mm-hmm. movies, his aesthetic was that mm-hmm. very like bodily, looked kind of like bodily organs and stuff, like the thing that they were floating on. I thought there was going to be a comment about it, but there wasn't. It just kind of looked like a floating human tongue with like weird metallic attachments to it. It was very like unsettling and disturbing.
Yeah, it really had like a kind of a gross look to it. It was very uninspiring is the best way I can describe it. Like it did not. I'm a sucker for like story elements where there is a world in between worlds where it's like the gathering place for you to go to all these worlds.
Especially after watching Loki. I don't know if you've been watching that show, but
I have not. I am so burnt out on Marvel. It's not even funny. But there is you ever read the Narnia books?
Oh yeah. Yeah.
In the first, not the first book release, but the first book chronologically in the story, The Magician's Nephew, there's a moment in that book where they come to like this land that's filled with like all, as far as I can see, is different oases. Oases, I think that's the right way. And they dip their head and it looks like, from my imagination, I would guesstimate they're like a meter wide, you know, a little less than 3 feet. And the characters would dip their head into them and they could see these other worlds and fall into them and go to these different worlds. And I just thought that was such a cool idea of this world filled with portals to other worlds. And right. on paper, I should like this scene. I should yeah. like this moment where it's this world that has portals to all that, that houses all the portals, all the warp zones to the other worlds. And I just don't. I really don't.
That's the problem with this episode. I think we're going to kind of be showing our hand here as far as I think we both kind of discussed that this episode was kind of a clanker. It wasn't really, didn't really do it for us. And I think that the beginning of this episode kind of reveals that like there are some actually good ideas in this episode, but there's too many of them and none of them have the appropriate amount of time to breathe. Like there are like three or four things that are kind of approached in this episode and then abandoned for another idea or for another thing. I thought this entire episode was going to be them kind of experimenting and going into these different worlds, which I like that idea. And then I was like, ooh, will this be a three-part cliffhanger? Because I could see mm-hmm. this middle episode being like just all of them on their own doing their own little adventures in these different worlds. And then, you know, the cliffhanger at the end of this episode would be them finally finding the way out. But
mm-hmm.
yeah, this gets dropped pretty quickly.
and they decide to try to find the correct warp zone, the correct path back. Kevin asked Simon if he has any rope in his backpack. He goes, no, but I have fishing line. I'm like, all right, sure. I don't know. It was a weird distinction. Like, I don't know why they needed to, like, was that supposed to be a joke? Was
it supposed to be? The joke is that, like, why do you have a fishing pole? But, like,
that's he doesn't even have a fishing pole. He just has fishing line.
Yeah. But he pulls out a fishing pole, doesn't he?
Oh, does he? Maybe I just completely pulls out
a whole fishing. He's like, I have fishing line and pulls out, like, a whole fishing pole. And okay. Kevin's like, that's perfect.
So they tie off fishing line to everyone's waist so that way they're all connected to each other so they can go into these other warp zones and determine like okay which one is the correct one because they want to get back to Mount Icarus. And Simon everyone goes off into different warp zones. You don't see where Kevin goes. You don't see where Duke his dog goes. You don't see where I don't think you see where Mega Man goes, but you do see. Simon stay behind. He's like, ha, basically he's going like, ha, suckers, I'm going to make you do all the work and I'm just going to wait here. And then out of fucking nowhere, a giant mouth just appears and he's like, oh, I guess I can go. And then he just jumps into a warp zone and yeah, you never hear from that mouth again. Like, you don't know what that is. You don't know, is it a villain? You have no idea why that thing's there.
Right. Yeah. That kind of like it leans into that body horror stuff that like they were kind of, what was the game? It has a weird, starts with an A. It's like Astyanax, or there was a Nintendo game.
Where I think you have, that's the right name. I didn't know it had like body horror stuff in it though.
I just always remember, cause reading old Archie Digest, like picking those up at the grocery store and stuff. I always remember the ads for that. And it was like some person floating through like this body horror type, these stages and like, you know, like the weird floating creatures attached to a wall with like pulsating whatever. That's what it all kind of reminded me of, but in a PG Saturday morning cartoon kind of way. So like, but yeah, the mouth floating up was very odd.
But then when he goes into the warp zone, he ends up in just a random boiling pot of stew. And they don't explain like what this world is. He's like at a boiling pot of stew, like with like a tribe from in like a jungle somewhere. And it was so random. And I didn't understand that. But then Lana ends up in Yankee Stadium of all places.
It's like I'm guessing it was supposed to be like a bases loaded Nintendo game or MLB Nintendo game kind of thing. Baseball stars.
But that actually reminds me of something we forgot to mention the last episode. When they're in last episode, Kevin fights Donkey Kong, you know?
Yeah.
And after they lose, Lana's like, that's no fair. He weighs more than you. And Kevin goes, he weighs more than the entire Chicago Bears.
Oh, yeah.
Which, yeah, like, okay. Yeah. Sure. So, yeah, it's just another weird sports reference because now they're in Yankee Stadium in this one.
Yeah, I actually kind of chuckled to myself because the warp zone there was third base. Like, it's very obscure and like what?
Someone got to third base with Princess Lana. Is that the joke?
Hey, I like that. I like that idea. Well, no, like the idea
the way you said that, I like that idea.
Well, I said not like that.
I said someone gets to third base with Princess Lana, and you're like, I like that idea.
I mean, I like the thought that was the writer's intent, that like to throw this like naughty joke into a kid's show.
Yeah,
I really like that idea, but you know what I'm saying. I think I'm digging myself a deeper hole here by trying to explain myself, because the previous episode I was talking about butts, and now that, like, I'm just making it worse. But
all this butt stuff going on here.
All this butt stuff, but no, like, this just brings up the whole, like, the writer's concept of warp zones. Like you know, I think of a video game warp zone as being this kind of like secret thing, but like, hey, it's third base in Yankee Stadium, apparently.
Well, the Kid Icarus ends up being the one that finds Mount Icarus again, and no one's at this Coliseum, so he's very confused. He tugs on his line. Everyone comes and joins him, and, you know, Exposition Jim Mega Man shows up, and he's like, oh, according to my calculations, we're a week into the future now. I'm like, thank you, Exposition Jim. Thank you.
And also, just, instead of, like... He's got like this clock on his wristband, and it's blinking mm-hmm. seven. Like, oh, so you have a section on your clock that says days. Everything else was zeroed out, but like
I know it's so weird. Like I don't understand. It's just one of those things. You know, they just didn't give a shit. They can do stuff.
And that's another one of those ideas. It's another idea that they kind of dump. Like, okay, we're not going to spend all this time in the warp zone to oblivion. We're going to now do a time travel thing, or like, you know.
Yeah, they really knock out that section in the first 5 minutes of the episode. Like, they could have devoted a lot more to it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was kind of disappointed. I was like, oh, I wanted to kind of see some more stuff there. But yeah, and only 7 days. I feel like it would have been even more interesting if it was like Ocarina of Time, 7 years, which maybe that they got it from Captain N. There we go.
But nope, yeah. That has to be it. Has to be. That's it. The 7 years. That's the forward thinking part of it.
Yep.
Then so they come out, and then you meet Exposition Jim 2.0, where a random farmer literally explains to them what literally everything that's going on, like literally everything that's happening, where King Hippo and Eggplant Wizard are the ones running Mount Icarus for Mother Brain, and Dr. Wily took the three relics, took the three treasures, sacred treasures, over to Megaland, where that's my home world, as Mega Man says, where they go over to Megaland and trying to conquer Megaland using those three sacred treasures. So the team has to split up, and Simon and Kid Icarus stay in Mount Icarus, because Kid Icarus says, well, there's these three weapons, these three sacred treasures, three like other things in here that I can use to combat the three sacred treasures, which it's kind of like, why?
Well, that's why? What confused me when that came up. That super confused me, because something we might not have pointed out last week was the sacred treasures were literally treasure chests. Like, they never opened them.
We don't know what's inside of them.
Yeah.
No, and Mother Brain opens them. You just don't see them.
Exactly. And they were in Kid Icarus World, which that's what Kevin kept saying. Like, this place is familiar because it's Kid Icarus World. And that is the point of Kid Icarus, is you're collecting those three relics, those three treasures. And that's what they collect in this episode. And I was like, wait, so what did Mother Brain get? She literally just got three glowing treasure chests. The three relics are the bow, the arrow, and the mirror shield from Kid Icarus. So the fact mm-hmm. that they're like, oh, now we have to actually collect them? They weren't actually collected in the previous episode, so I was very confused.
The story is just, I think the reason why this episode doesn't work is because the story is just all over the place. Like, it contradicts the previous episode, which, not that it's hard to do that, especially in a show like this.
Right.
And it really, I don't know, the story's not very good, because that Medusa is supposedly the one guarding the three relics that Simon and Kid Icarus have to go to, while, you know, Captain N, Mega Man, Duke, of course, Captain N's dog, and Lana are going over to Megaland so they can stop Dr. Wily from taking over. And you meet Dr. Light there. And he's like, I invented a new robot. It's Garbage Man.
Yeah. And so he can trash all the other bad guys.
I was so upset by that. That made me upset on a personal level, where it's like, what do you garbage? That's not how the whole naming thing in Mega Man works. It garbage, the name of the man describes their power, which means either Garbage Man is literal garbage where he's just awful, or he's literally a pile of garbage. He has to be a pile of garbage. That's literally all he has to be. Or he has to throw garbage at people. But that's not what he does. He just eats random shit. He's literally just a recycler. Just call him Recycle Man. I don't know. Yeah. But he's not garbage. You ever see the way he said it goes, Garbage Man? And all I could think was Garbage Day.
Garbage Day?
For those who haven't seen a clip, it's you could literally look it up. Silent Night, Deadly Night 2. I've never even seen the movie. I've only seen that clip.
That's the only thing I have. The only thing you need to watch it for is for that scene.
You have seen the movie?
Yeah.
Oh, I'm so sorry.
But yeah, did you notice that Kevin calls him Dr. Wright, by the way?
Does he?
Dr. Light? Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. There's a lot of stuff in this. There was stuff like even the last episode, like King Hippo, when he lifts up the whole building, I couldn't understand what he said to Mother Brain. He's like, something, these jerks. And I couldn't understand what he was saying. There's a lot of that in these two episodes where I'm just like, I don't know what they're saying to each other.
Yeah. Yeah. Dr. Wright has Garbage Man.
Garbage Man.
And then they decide, so the one accurate thing of all of these weird video game incongruities where they're like not matching up with, like, they're kind of getting it right in this weird way, but it's also not right. The one thing that they did get kind of right was they go to the Cut Man stage first, which is usually recommended in the first Mega Man game, is to go get Cut Man's power, but they don't call him Cut Man. They call him Let's Cutsman. Go fight Cutsman. Hello, my good Cutsman.
I also have to comment, the design for Cutsman is, I had it on stream. He looks absolutely nothing like his character design in Mega Man 1. The other thing but here's the thing though. I love that. I love that it's so wrong. I love that it's so off. It doesn't match the game at all, because I'm bummed he died, because that character was so interesting. Like, he was the most interesting thing in the entire episode.
Yes, the golden spears on his
and they keep changing directions. Like, the original Cut Man, the scissors go straight up, almost like bunny ears. They're not they're not on the left and right side of his head like a bunny's. It's they stem from the center and branch out, but they go straight up like bunny's ears. And where they kind of go diagonal up.
And it's just blades.
Yeah. This literally, it looks like he's wearing like a beanie that you would see in like a little kid from the 50s with a little twirly top on the top of it. But instead of a twirly top, it's a giant fucking pair of scissors that he shoots at people.
Yes. And like, so it still has handles. So theoretically, if you're fast enough, you could like catch them.
Mm-hmm.
Haha, I'm gonna use them like scissors now.
Ha 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 ha.
Haha, take that, Cutsman.
Cutsman, I can't get over it. Just,
and they say it multiple times and it hurts me every time.
Cutsman.
Yeah, but I do have to say that when I was looking forward to going to Mega Land, because I was like, since they're using some video game type music, like the last episode had the underground theme from Mario. But it sounded kind of familiar, the music in the background of Mega Land. kind of sounded like Star Tropics music, which I doubt that's what it was, but I was like, it wasn't upbeat, which upbeat, the Mega Man, the like that would have been perfect for the action of
them
going through Cutman's stage. It wasn't very upbeat or like fitting at all for the scene.
You ever see Scrubs?
Yeah.
You ever watch Scrubs? It just, the way Cutsman sounds, it's almost like instead of Dr. Beardface, it's Beardface, damn it. It's like, it's not Cutman, it's Cutsman. It's Cutsman. Yes. He wants to feel more fancy, so he's Cutsman. Yes. One thing I didn't mention in the last episode, actually two things I didn't mention in the last episode. I meant to mention like the song, because there's always some famous song that's used in each of these episodes. And since we can't hear them because of copyright stuff, you know, they're not included in Video Olympics. It was the I Got You / I Feel Good by James Brown. You know, I feel good.
Copyright strike.
I know, right? I have no idea where that would have fit into that episode. Like, I can't picture.
I think it might have been their like Rocky montage where they're training.
That song is not good for a montage, though. So if that's where it was supposed to be, I just don't know. And also the game elements in Video Olympics, which are pretty straightforward, is Donkey Kong, Mike Tyson's Punch Out, Mega Man, and Kid Icarus. And this one, it's just Kid Icarus and Mega Man. And the song used in this one is Danger Zone by Kenny Loggins.
Yes.
But they play that wannabe Kenny Loggins song in every episode. That I will say also in the last episode, I know I keep bringing up stuff from episode 4, but it was stuff I forgot to mention in our fourth one. They had like the Rocky theme randomly in it. Like when they're in the Olympic, when they're in the Coliseum here, it's not quite the Rocky theme. It's slightly off, and it doesn't go through into the whole that dun 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 dun. I don't want to get copyright striked. It doesn't go into all that, but it's kind of got that that you hear like at the beginning of like Rocky 2 or something like that, if I remember correctly. Maybe Rocky 3. I was like listening to it, I'm like, it sounds like a combination of the Olympic theme and Rocky theme, and I can't tell what's going on. Okay, so now the teams are split up. You have Kid Icarus and Simon traveling through. And let's talk about we'll go through the whole story of, let's do Kid Icarus and Simon first, because they show up to save Captain N and the rest of the team in Mega Land towards the end. Yeah. So I know we've been talking about the Mega Land segment. Well, let's talk about Kid Icarus and Simon first. So pretty much. The only scene of Eggplant Wizard and King Hippo is in Mount Icarus, and they're taking a hot tub. They're taking a steam together. they're having a good old steam. And Simon sneaks in as he calls himself a master of disguise, and he sneaks in and it's so ridiculous. He is wearing a really shitty wig where you can literally see the color of his hair underneath the black wig. And he pretends to fix the sauna, and he just ends up turning it up really hot and causes it to steam up. And Eggplant Wizard and King Hippo are then distracted, and they just slip on by. That's literally the whole scene.
Yep. And all they had to do was continue walking. They didn't even have to do that to Eggplant Wizard and King Hippo.
They could have just kept moving. It wouldn't have made a difference. Yeah. But, and then when they finally do get to Medusa to get the sacred treasures, you know, Kid Icarus is like, don't look at her, she'll turn you to stone. And Simon's an idiot and does it anyway, even after Kid Icarus literally spray painted his goggles so that way he couldn't see out of them, which I thought was a little funny.
Yes, and I'm glad that he finally used the goggles that he's been wearing the entire series.
Has he actually been wearing them? I didn't even notice.
Yeah. Part of his outfit is having those goggles in his hair.
Good stuff then. Kid Icarus just kind of wears a bucket on his head. Like, goes through all this length to give Simon like these spray, you know, takes his goggles, spray paint, make it really official, And he just puts a bucket on his own head. I'm like, what the fuck, dude? Simon gets tricked by Medusa into taking off his goggles and he gets turned into stone. And by that time, though, he uses her sexy voice. The design for Medusa, I actually really like. Like, it was creepy looking. Like, I was very impressed with the overall design because it was, it made me uncomfortable to look at.
That's what, that's why this show stuck, has stuck with me for so long, is everything being like just a little off, but like in an interesting way. And, you know, like Kutzman and and Medusa and Dracula with his weird yellow zoot suit. Like, everything is just like, like this potent, like it scarred my brain, like with how weird these things are.
There's a lot of weird stuff in this show, man. I can't wait to show my daughter these cartoons. And I really hope that she, that she sees them. It would be great. So they, he, so Kid Icarus gets the three sacred relics. It's a bow, a fire arrow, and a mirror shield. And he falls into a bag, and Medusa picks him up, and she's like, "I'm gonna turn you to stone." And she doesn't, because as she picks him up, he just has the mirror in front of his face.
Yeah, she's dangling him by his feet. So when he does like a sit up, you know, like he sits up towards to face her and he's holding the shield in front of his face.
And, but then she goes, "Oh, I'm turning to stone." Like, the delivery of that was just amazing.
Yeah,
like,
the announcing of it, yeah.
Just, I love bad, I don't want to say bad writing, because I know the writers didn't give it, like, it, this is a paycheck for them, and I don't blame them for it.
One of the best jokes might have been after this, though, because after she turns to stone, everyone that she had turned into stone comes back to life, including Simon. Mm-hmm. And all the warriors that, you know, come back to life are like, what? And Simon's like, "I'm your commanding officer, and you've been enlisted in the war against Mother Brain. Like, go free this planet." And they're like, "Ah," and they go run off. Like, I just thought that was funny that these guys are so brainless that they're like, "Okay, I'm going to trust the first person that I see after waking up from a stupor."
They're not, they may not be the brightest crayons in the box, say. Like, I mean, especially taking orders from Simon, of all people, who's not, he's Simon.
And that was a, was a surprisingly clever plan for Simon to, to do.
Yeah, especially considering this dude has fucked up almost every other plan that he's been given so far in this episode. One thing I have not mentioned in this episode that I've been meaning to is, I hate Kid Icarus in this episode. They gave him way too much dialogue because he says Icus every fucking other word. It drives me up a wall. "Oh, Darnicus, your Heinicus." He even, like, it's going to be like Toughest Maximus or shit like that. Like, I forget what he says. So many lines where I just want to pull my eyes out, pull my ears off, I should say. Like, at least Mega Man's voice is obnoxious, but at least he doesn't say Mega that often. It's very seldom. This, he adds Icus to everything like it's going out of style. Like, he just, I can't stand Kid Icarus in this episode or the show in general, but they really gave a lot of focus to him on this episode, and it's worse off for it, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I really don't know what they were thinking, and I'm surprised that the voice actor was like, "Really? You want me to keep doing this?"
I'm curious who the voice actor was for this. Let me see. So we have Kid Icarus was voiced by Alessandro Giuliani. I think I talked about this actually in one of our other episodes. So he's in The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina, the Netflix show, the Netflix reboot of Sabrina, as Emil Hamilton, I guess. Yeah.
No, that's
Emil Hamilton in Smallville.
Yeah. Oh, he's Dr. Cerberus.
Dr. Cerberus in The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina. So there we go. He's done some stuff.
Oh, some of our anime fans. He's the dub voice for L in the Death Note anime.
Yo, you're right.
That's much better than Kid Icarus.
So we move on over to Mega Man and Kevin and Princess Lana and Duke over in Megaland, and they're trying to get to Dr. Wily, so they have to defeat Cutman to get there. And, or sorry, Cutsman. We have to defeat Cutsman.
I love it.
And This part of the episode was probably the most boring for me out of all of it. Like, I really did not enjoy any of the Mega Man stuff up until Cutman. But I was still impressed with some of like the designs, like when they're climbing up the ladders and like there's the little like beak things that come out and shoots the three laser balls. I'm like, that's something straight out of the game. I was really impressed with that. I thought that was cool that it was so close and so accurately represented to the game.
Yeah, they had the flying robot with like the little whirly gig that attacked mm-hmm, them as mm-hmm. well. But it had a nose. It was supposed to be like a skull, but it had like a weird little nose. Like little things like that that are make it off that like just stick in your brain.
There's a lot of weird stuff like that. Like the character designs in general for this are really memorable, but all like you said, really off. Like I can't get over the one thing we forgot to mention again from the last episode, Dracula shows up, and just in thinking of character designs we really like.
Yeah.
He showed up in the Punch-Out gym. And this one, I really like the design of Medusa, and actually Cutsman. I actually like his design, even though it's way off from the original. It's just so bonkers. He is purple. He has a purple face, and his jawbones look like it. His face looks like it's in the shape of a V because his jawbones are so pronounced. It's very strange.
Yes, and those golden scissors. I can't get over the golden scissors.
And so they're climbing up, and they end up, like you were saying, with that like whirly gig thing with a big stomping pad, and that's how they get killed, quote unquote, the first time. And this is the part of the episode I referenced it in episode 4 where they play really fast and loose with the laws of when Kevin and Mega Man will or will not shoot. It makes no sense to me because there'll be times when they refuse to shoot at enemies and they just keep climbing and then they'll fall off. But then after they get killed the first time by that big stomping machine whirligig thing, when they're trying to climb the ladder, there's a like significantly more enemies, like easily in like the like 40 or 50 enemies compared to like 3. And they're just blasting away in a thing. They don't give a shit. They're just shooting everywhere. I'm like, why not all the time? Is there a limit to it? Like, I don't understand. Like, even if you just threw away some bullshit thing where it's like, I only have limited amount of power to, I only have a limited amount of energy for this, so I have to make my shots count. But they don't explain that. They talk right. about power as in their health, but that's right. about it. They don't really talk that. About the ammo.
I like that aspect of it because I've always kind of pictured that myself where, like, Mega Man shows his life bar on his wristband. And it looks like the life bar in the game. I like that. And also when I kind of like giggled to myself when they get the energy crystal that falls from a fallen enemy. And so many, you know, as much as I didn't care for this episode, I found myself wanting so many of these images as our thumbnail from this episode. And one of them was Mega Man bending down and poking the energy crystal. And I like, and he's got like this cute little like Hello Kitty smile on his face, like meep, like as he's powering up with the crystal and like this pink energy glowing mm-hmm. around him. I was like, oh, he's so cute.
Well, did you remember what Kevin's response to that was? Where he's like, I got more energy.
Yeah, because he's like, that energy tasted good. And he's like, oh, so it's like a energy burger.
A digital cheeseburger or something like that. I'm like, wow, what a line. That sure is something right there. It's like a digital cheeseburger. Sure it is. If that's what you want it to be, that's what it can be.
But they do a good, the other good thing about that with the energy and everything is, and obviously like we talked about how the jumping eye monster, eye robot squashed them before and they died. And then they have this kind of conversation about like, oh, I'm the game master. I learn from my mistakes. And like, you know, playing Mega Man, like that is what it's all about, at least back then. Like this is kind of good historical context, I guess, for people now playing games. Like Mega Man might seem unfair to people picking it up now for the first time. But back then, that's kind of what it was about, was like, yeah, you're gonna die a bunch. And Kevin even says, like, you know, the first time I played Mega Man, I died 50 times before I made it to the end. Like, which doesn't seem like a lot, actually, for someone who played Mega Man a lot as a kid.
Well, I will say, though, like, the myth of the Nintendo hard thing, I hate that argument now, because everyone's always like, oh, games are so much harder back then. I'm like, well, they made them that, like, they didn't have to be. They literally made it because they couldn't squeeze 10 hours worth of content on those things, so they just made it brutally difficult, so that way you would spend 10 hours just bashing your head into a wall. I'm not, like, some games were really well designed, like any of the Mario games, perfect difficulty curve, in my opinion, like really well done difficulty curve that can take, like, that will take, it'll take you a while to beat because they can be difficult. But, like, I'm sorry, it just, I don't know. I hate that mentality where it's just like, I'm wading into waters now that we really don't need to wade into. Have you seen on Twitter, like, those arguments about people getting, like, pissy about developers adding more easy options, like more easy difficulty options into games,
accessibility and all?
I don't get it. Like, you can like, I like how they are the ones determining, well, this isn't what the game developers wanted. I'm like, how the fuck do you know what they wanted? If they added it in, they wanted it. Like, whether it was, it's corporate or otherwise, the corporate's also part of the game developers. You can hate them, but they're part of the game developers. Like, I get it. You want to be able to play on the most difficult setting. And, you know, because the whole thing started because people are wanting easier difficulty settings on, like, the Dark Souls games or the Bloodborne games. And I'm like, you could make the argument, I think you at least can make an argument against that, because it's like those games were literally designed with the intention to be difficult. Like, they were meant to show, they were meant to prove your mettle, meant to prove your skill. And there's nothing wrong with that. Just, I mean, it's the thing about difficulty is that it will stop people from wanting to play your games. It stops me from playing them, but I don't think, I'm going off on a tangent.
I'm pretty sure they designed them in a way that the more you play it, eventually you will persevere.
Like, yes, I think there is. I think that is the difference. So, like, if you keep practicing and you keep playing, you will be able to get it. The difference between Dark Souls difficulty, like Dark Souls and From Software levels of difficulty, and like NES difficulty, is that NES difficulty was bullshit. It was random. It was all not all, but the majority of it was RNG based. Dark Souls is very meticulously designed. So it makes it so it really incentivizes you to keep going, because then you learn new skills and you're in control. Like, when you die and you screw up, it's on you. When you die in NES games, it might not be you. There's a higher than 50% chance in some games, not all games. And but also, there's a, like, decent chance that it's not you.
There's a fun aspect to it too, and I'll try not to fall too far down this rabbit hole with you, but, like, I had to walk away from a coworker once. Like, I rarely get heated in a conversation, but I had to walk away from a coworker years ago who was like, yeah, if it doesn't have enough polygons in the graphics, like, if I don't like the graphics, I won't play it. And I was like, the whole point of a game is if it's fun. Like, so
I can understand so if it's pure polygon count, like, if it doesn't have the best graphics, yeah, that's a stupid argument. But if you don't like the graphics at all, I mean, that's the first thing you see. I'm not saying it has to be, you know, like, fucking, what's the most advanced game right now? Like, everyone's raving about the new Forza game, I believe. Like, everyone's talking about the new Forza graphics. It doesn't have to be that level of detail. Or, like, Red Dead 2 has insane graphics. Like, it doesn't have to be Red Dead 2 level of graphics. But, like, it can... Art direction is so much more important than graphical fidelity.
There's so a difference between, like, the art direction and the aesthetic than the actual, like, quality of the graphics, you know?
Well, look at, like, Sly Cooper, right? Sly Cooper on the PS2 still looks pretty decent. Like, I'm not saying like, you can see it's a little bit, you can see its age, but it doesn't look bad to look at. Meanwhile, go back to Medal of Honor Frontline on the PS2. It's not the best to look at anymore. It's fine, but it's you can see its age. Go back to how Mario Bros. 3 looks. Still looks fantastic for 2D sprite art. It looks really good. Go back to trying to think of a good example of an NES game that, like, really the graphics did not age well on it.
You could say, like, even
the original Metal Gear. Metal Gear's it's okay, but it's not like anything like whole, like it looks older than it actually is.
I think Ocarina of Time might have been the crux of our argument, because he was refusing to play that and he never had played it before. He was younger than me. He'd never played Ocarina of Time, and he was like, I can't play it for more than 5 minutes because it's so ugly. And this might, I don't remember if it was before the 3DS game. And I understand it if the 3DS game, if you played that first and then you go to play Ocarina of Time, but it's like, man, that game is so good. Like, and maybe that's a whole nother argument, but
it's tough because it's like, if you don't like the graphics, it's hard to get over it. But people just need to remember, like, they need to take that into account when they're playing the game. Like, I just beat Gears of War for the first time on last night on stream, and I've never beaten it before. And the game doesn't look that great. Like, there's a lot of rendering issues. There's a lot of, 90% of it, like, 90% of the color palette is gray. So it's like, blue. It's fine. Like, it looks okay. Like, I would not want that visual aesthetic at all, but you know, for the time, it looked really good. For right. You know, you go back to 2006 and you're like, holy shit, you can see his teeth.
Yep.
It looks awkward.
His individual fingers instead of mittens.
Exactly. So it's like, you have to put yourself back in those shoes. Context is so important, man. So yeah. Important, especially in game history. Anyway, Captain N.
You can tell how much we like this episode.
Yeah, this episode is just kind of meh. So they defeat Kutzman and they make it up to Dr. Wily, and they on the path up there, they fought all the other Robot Masters, which actually the design of those Robot Masters was a lot more faithful to the originals.
Still hilarious, but
yeah.
And they also fought them in Kutzman's stage, which I was like, Like they only went through the Cutman stage and fought the bosses. And I'm guessing, understanding how animation works, I'm guessing, you know, they sent the character sheets to, you know, the animation studio, and like, these are the only things we can animate, you know, so they just used them again as like regular bad guys in the Cutman stage.
That's the only thing I can think of. It's very weird. It's just very, well, because then Wily recreates them. He brings them back using the power of the three treasures, and you fight them again. But then right when you think you're about to lose, that's when Simon and Kid Icarus shows up.
Yep.
This gets to another problem that I have with this episode. Why is there only one fire arrow? The whole thing is that Kid Icarus has to destroy the three treasures using the fire arrow. That's the whole premise for this.
Right.
And why is there only one? He had one shot.
How is he not the best archer? Like, how can... Like, isn't that, at least at the end, they should have made, like, finally I can help my team with what I do best. And even that, like, he misses, like.
And Lana has to save him, which, you know, power to them. They had the girl save the day, which back then probably wasn't as common.
That's true.
But it's still a weird thing. Like, he's supposed to be the archer.
Yeah.
I can't stand his voice. I feel so bad for the voice actor for him, Alessandro Giuliani. Like, I want to talk to him, like, I want to give him a hug. I'm like, dude, I'm so sorry they made you do this voice. And then I'm just going to be real awkward when he's like, no, that was a creative decision. That's what I wanted to do. And I'll be like, oh, it was I was joking.
I guess.
And I'm not even criticizing his performance. Like, I can't really criticize any of the voice actors/actresses performances in this show. It just that the character choice that the creators made just irks me. Like, I hate Icus. I hate that he adds Icus to every fucking sentence. Yes. Just drives me up a wall. I was thinking though, when watching this, Princess Lana's voice actress is really good. Like, she delivers the lines really convincingly. Maybe I'm just getting like Stockholm syndrome into this, where it's like, well, I'm so used to all the others and this is just the best one.
It's possible. No, she does have good line delivery. And it helps being next to Kevin too, who's like, his line delivery has a very limited range, it feels like.
Yeah. Kevin's voice actor, I don't think, is doing a good job. It's very dry.
Yeah.
Very unenthused.
And I forgot to point out that they finally used Kid Icarus music when Simon and Kid Icarus reached Medusa. They did the...
They do that in the intro song, though. They use Kid Icarus music in the intro song.
Yes, they do. And maybe that's what they sampled it from. But I was like, oh, yay, finally, you know, the game that we're in, we finally get music 1.5 episodes in.
They also, I noticed in this one and the last one, they use the Metroid music a decent amount. That dun, 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 dun. I love the Metroid music.
Yeah,
it's a great It's very atmospheric, but it works really well. It just, they basically, after he shoots the fire arrow, and while all this is going on, actually, before we get to how they defeat him, which will be quick, but one of the, like, fireman or whatever shoots a fireball at Simon. He holds up the mirror shield, not trying to call back to Ocarina of Time like we were talking about before, but it's a mirror shield.
Yeah.
And it absorbs it. And he goes, oh, thank God that worked, which I thought was like a weird kind of a callback to the last episode where Kevin was like, oh, thank goodness that worked. It was like, I can't believe this is working type of thing. I'm like, why? Like, why do it then? Why? Like, I mean, are you like that? That means that he was desperate there. He just showed no fear. But that means if he didn't know if this was going to work, he's like, fuck it. I hope this works and I survive this.
Yeah, I feel like a line, something of like, I meant to do that, or, you know, something like that would have made more sense, where it was just like a reflex that saved his life and not something he intended, you know?
Yeah, something along. I don't know. Yeah, this episode's not good. And it ends with Kid Icarus misses the shot, but it ricochets around the room. Lana takes her tiara and it ricochets off her tiara and it hits the treasures and it explodes and everything goes back to normal. And they throw Wily and Eggplant Wizard and King Hippo back to Mother Brain's world, and Mother Brain is pissed, and the end. That's the end of the episode.
Yeah. Yeah. Kevin finally uses his pause button, goes up and fiddles with Dr. Wily's ship, and that's what causes him to wreck when he unpauses.
And like, why though? Like, why is that so selective when he uses it? Couldn't he have just paused it from the beginning when Mother Brain took power and then just taken the treasures away?
Yeah, probably.
There's so much. I know I shouldn't be taking the show this seriously because it's this show, but I kind of love doing it at the same time because it posits like what if. But all right, do you have any final words on this episode, Dexter?
Just sad with the lost potential of this episode. I love the idea of the warp zone of oblivion, and that was gone in 5 minutes. I like the idea of them showing up in the future where they've lost,
and that was gone in five minutes.
I like I don't mind the Simon and Kid Icarus dynamic going after Medusa. That was fun, but that was short lived.
In 5 minutes.
Yeah. I liked the stuff on Megaland as far as like the comparisons to the game, how accurate some of the stuff was to the game. That was gone in 5 minutes. The best parts, like I said, the best parts were like some of the visuals in this. Like I said, there kept being moments where I was like, oh, I got to screenshot that for the thumbnail. Like, there are so many. Cutsman, his character design.
I think Cutsman has to be our thumbnail for this one. I think so.
I want so many times I watch the show and I'm like, I want a t-shirt of that. I want a t-shirt of Mother Brain wearing her tiara at the end of this episode.
That's a good one.
I want a t-shirt of Cutsman. I want a t-shirt of Eggplant Wizard riding a King Hippo airboat in the swamp. I want these things. I guess I have to do it. I have to make it myself.
I mean, clearly no one gives a shit about the copyright for this show because it's all up on YouTube. Like, YouTube would have taken this down a while ago, right? I'm curious actually now. Let me look up the YouTube video, and hopefully it'll tell me, because a lot of times if it's copyrighted to, you know, somebody or some company or something like that, it'll say, you know, like, this is owned by blah 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 blah. So let me mute this real quick. Captain N in Videoland. And it usually tells you, like, in the description, right? Normally.
I think so.
The comments are turned off. Yeah, I don't know. It's on the Wild Brain cartoon. Wow, they actually have... Holy shit. They have Super Mario Bros. They have a lot of cartoons. They have... I'm so confused by this. They have Super Mario Bros. They have Sonic the Hedgehog. Pole Position. There's a Pole Position cartoon?
Yeah, that's even older than these shows.
It looks a lot more anime. They have Super Mario Bros. 3.
The Frogger cartoon and stuff like that.
They also have Super Mario World, the full series, and Zelda, the full series, and The Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog, the full series, Super Mario Brothers Super Show, full series. They got it all. Sonic Underground.
Wow.
Magi Nation. Tobot. I don't know. There's a lot on here. Space Ranger Roger. I've never heard of that one. Carl. It's just Carl. K-A-R-L. Just Carl. Carl. So for those who don't know what we're watching on, it's on YouTube. It is literally just a video playlist. You can watch all these cartoons for free on YouTube, all these episodes. That's what we're watching it on. And this channel is really active. They have like Super Mario World, the wheel thing, comma Wild Brain was just released 2 days ago.
Wow.
They have Sonic Underground. That's crazy. That's nuts. But okay. All right. That should do it for this episode. We've kind of ranted and rambled and gone a little bit more off the edge on this one. As you can tell, we really didn't enjoy this episode. Like the other ones were a lot more interesting to watch, even though I wasn't the biggest fan of 3. That was significantly more interesting to watch, like by a large margin compared to this one. So I don't recommend this one. I mean, it's kind of a letdown considering the 4th one was a big cliffhanger and the 5th one was just kind of boring.
Watch it on mute. That's my suggestion.
Then you don't have to hear Ickes every 5 fucking seconds. Yeah,
it's much more visually appealing than anything else. Everything else is like, what? Like, save your brain. Save the brain cells, just put it on mute and enjoy the goofy artwork of these, like the different robot masters from Mega Man.
So yeah, I agree. it's the robot masters are the best part of the whole episode, just especially Cutsman. Yeah. Cutsman is my favorite. He's the only one that made me laugh during this episode. So that should do it for this episode of the Still Loading Podcast, for this episode 5 of Captain N the Game Master. Dexter, thank you for joining me as usual. Where can the people find you online?
Oh, just search my name, Dexter Morrill, DEXTER _ MORRILL. I'm on Instagram. I'm on Twitter. I'm having fun. I'm drawing pictures, sharing jokes, all that fun stuff. So you can check out my stuff there. And I didn't mention it the previous episode, but maybe by the time this one comes out, I might have a project in the works, might have a Kickstarter going up on a book. So keep your ears and eyes peeled. And I'm going to avoid an eggplant wizard pun with the eyes peeled thing with bananas. I'm just going to leave it there.
I'm going to artichoke you to death. That was such a stupid... That was from episode 4. Sorry, everybody. For me, as usual, you can follow me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at StillLoadingPod. On all of them, you can email me, StillLoadingContact@gmail.com. If you want to support the show, you can go to Patreon.com/StillLoadingPod. Even just $1 a month will help. Or non-monetarily, and arguably probably much more beneficial, just give it a 5-star rating and review on Apple Podcasts or whichever podcasting app you use, because that helps more people find the show. And the most important shout out I have is the Bit by Bit Foundation. The Bit by Bit Foundation is a nonprofit organization whose mission is to put video games and video game consoles in the hands of children receiving inpatient care. So please go check them out and go to bitbybitfoundation.org and consider donating. And that will do it. Dexter, thank you for joining me for this episode.
Thank you. It's been a blast.
We will see you for the next Captain N, and I will see you all next time.